Good morning, Texas. Here we are this morning, a marvelous morning. Actually, honestly, it's a marvelous Sunday afternoon when I'm recording this thing. It's in the 80s, the sun is shining, we got the lawnmowers going, the mosquitoes are back, we're having a great day. But this will be played on Tuesday morning. I hope it's a good morning down there. I hope you're getting some of your drought eliminated or alleviated and wetted up anyway, but not too much. And hope some rain keeps moving over to the southwest more and more. California needs it. My daughter lives in the San Diego area, and their drought is immense. But this morning, we are just going to jump right through into program number 75. This is Acts chapter 27. We are on the ship with Paul. It is the ship of Alexandria, and we are finding out by looking at this fantastic true story, true event that took place in Paul's life, that we can so apply it to our day-to-day lives. And I think the word I was looking for the other day was typology. It's a type. Looking at Paul, the way this whole ship experience went with him, ended up with a shipwreck, but still alive, and still made his destination. It's a total typology of how us, if we hearken to Paul, which remember, I don't mean to sound like Paul is our Savior, but Paul is our apostle. And the risen Savior went to Paul face to face directly a number of times and told him what to tell us Gentiles, and we should follow the manner of life that Paul talks about. In fact, before we get going, let's just bunny trail just for a second to Philippians chapter 4, where in verse 9 it says, "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." Now, we're not looking to imitate Paul. We're just looking to follow him. And we look at what that we have learned from him. "Those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in Paul's life," you know, it says, "do, and the God of peace shall be with you." So we're looking at Acts chapter 27, and we're looking at this shipwreck. Do we want to be on a shipwreck? Folks, most of us have already wrecked our ships. And I have to say the government has done its part to help wreck them. But so have we chosen to follow Jesus' gospel to the Jews. So have we, if we've chosen to follow the pastors in our churches today, teaching Baptistic or Lutheranistic or Methodistic or Catholicistic or denominationalistic religion, because just about all of them, I probably should just go right off on the trail and say all of them are following the Gospels. Many of them claim the Great Commission. But they're basically looking to Jesus' teachings to the Jews in the Gospels, first 8 chapters of Acts. And you know they go to Hebrews and 1st and 2nd John, James, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, 1st, 2nd Peter. I mean, that's where they go. That's where they spend all their time. That's where all the programs that you get, that you can buy, and I've seen them, and they all go to this part of the Bible, if they use the Bible at all. The second thing is here, is that we are on the ship of Alexandria if you are looking at different Bibles. All the other Bibles can be traced back to Alexandria. They can. And that's the world's ways. That's Origen. That's Jerome. That's Gerhard Kittel. That's Hitler. That's Westcott and Hort. And the list goes on and on. But the King James Bible goes back to Antioch. That is a history that can be totally proven. And I'd be glad to do it if I could do it on the radio, but all I could do on the radio would be list you a bunch of names and tell you where to draw the arrow, and that wouldn't say much. But you can get on the website, www.scatteredchristians.org, and go to the King James page you have it on there. Look for the picture, and it'll tell you where to go. And you can see the charts. You can see the manuscript evidence. You can see the details for it. You know, it can be done if you really want to get off that ship of Alexandria. So, let's get into this thing. We have made it as far as we're in chapter 27. We have made it as far as verse 22. We are in the process of a storm. They left when they shouldn't have. Paul tried to get them to listen to him, and the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship instead of Paul. Like I said, it's the ship of Alexandria, verse 6. They're in a mess. They're having a hard time. The storm is making them throw stuff away, and they think that they're going to fix things. It said here in verse 13, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, I mean, they thought that they were doing fine. They thought they were on the right ship. They thought they were listening to the right directions. They thought they were getting to the right place. And suddenly this tempestuous wind comes up, and they end up letting the ship drive herself. They're in a mess. So they start throwing things that are important to them. I mean, it says in verse 17, when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksand, strake sail. So they put their sails down and let the storm just drive them. And is that pretty much where people are today? They're just letting the government, they're just letting the way of the world, they're letting their religions just run it. They're just letting those things run their lives. It's like nobody has the courage anymore to open up a Bible because they've been taught it's written by man, so it isn't any good. And they don't realize that the risen Savior, not only did he rise, but he takes us with him if we just let him. And it's not a list of rules to where that if you don't follow, God will put the severity hand on everybody. And that's why people don't want to get into their Bible. They don't believe it's true anymore. They don't believe it's good for them. And they don't like the directions they're going to get because their pastors are teaching the severity of God. That was only to the Jews. When Jesus Christ died and arose, thus we have the beginning of the New Testament. We have new doctrine and is given to the Gentiles. And if we could read that stuff, you'd throw the right stuff off your ship. And believe it or not, your religious ship is going to crash anyway. But if you see in the end of this thing, you'll see how to get off of this thing and make it to shore and have a great time. People have just got God wrong. They've got religion, but they don't have God. They've got what they're told is true, but they don't have the truth. They think they've got Jesus, but they don't have the risen Jesus Christ. They've got the apostles, but they don't have the right one, and that's Paul. They think they've got the right ship, but it's the Alexandrian ship, not the Antioch ship. They think they've got a Bible if they care at all, but they don't have the scriptures. So, here we go. We're going to back up one verse to verse 21. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, "Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss." It's the old I told you so story. Okay, but he doesn't park on that thing. He says, "And now I exhort you to be of good cheer." Now, if people would hear this program and get what we're trying to say here, I mean, if you'd like me to go back and show you what's wrong and show you what's wrong, which I'm good at doing that. That's easy to do. I can give you all this I told you so. Your family's the way it is, I told you so. Your kids are caught up in religion, or your kids are caught up in the ways of the world, whatever. I could say I told you so. You should have listened to Paul, not me. But I guess I'm your go-between, between you and Paul, till you get a King James Bible. Then there you go. That's all you need. I'm just a cheerleader on the sideline, I guess. Hate to be compared to a cheerleader, though. Maybe I'm the band director off in the bleachers, whatever. So he says, "And now I exhort you to be of good cheer." I mean, they're in the middle of a storm. Their life is a disaster. They're crashing. They're going to drown. And this guy comes along and says, "Listen, I wish you would have listened to me, you know, back there when I told you not to leave. But now, let me tell you, be of good cheer." "Okay, I'm listening. For there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve." And by the way, that's Christ himself. That's who Paul serves. That's who Paul is showing. That is who Paul has seen and is to pass on to the Gentiles what he has seen. Go back through the purposes of Paul and you'll see exactly that this angel of God is referring to Christ. "For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve." What do we say about that? Do we need to see the angel of God? We have a King James Bible. This is the Word of God. These are the words of God. When you go to Paul, these are the words of the risen Christ. So we are hearing from the risen Christ when we hear from Paul. "For there stood by me," I read my Bible last night, and I can tell you what's going on in this country. I can tell you what's going on in this world. I can tell you what's going on in your church. I can tell you what your pastor is going to say. I can tell you why he's going to say what he says. I'm getting ready to do a program of why people are not going to believe that. They're still going to listen to the owner of the ship. They're still going to reject Paul. And it says in Romans 11:22 that when the Gentiles have rejected Paul's teachings, which is the goodness of God, when the Gentiles are done with that, God will be done to the Gentiles. He'll cut them off and go back to the Jews. Thus begins the tribulation. That's just the way it goes. That's what it says. So verse 24, saying, "Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar, and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee." Oh, we got to stop in this verse too. Saying, "Fear not, Paul." Okay, Paul is telling us, the risen Savior is telling us, "Fear not, I'll show you what's going on. I'll give you the knowledge, I'll give you that understanding, and I'll give you the wisdom. You'll make it, you'll be okay. Thou must be brought before Caesar." We have to be where we are. We have to have these jobs. We have to let this medical stuff hit us in the back of the head because we're part of a cursed world. This world is not getting any better. The government is not making your life any better. We are where we are. We're on this world. He talks about jobs in Corinthians, that if we want to get away from this kind of a world, then we have to leave the earth, he says. And it does say in Peter, to escape the pollutions of the world. But see, we cannot escape the pollutions of this world. In the tribulation, they will have to. That is tribulation teaching, 2 Peter chapter 2. I think it's around 12 or so. And if they escape the pollutions of the world and they go back to them, their life would be a whole lot worse. Have you ever heard that before? That's a tribulational teaching out of Peter. That is not being taught to us. Paul does say we have to work amongst the junk that's out there. We see the fashions, we hear the music, we see the people, we're around the people. But he does tell us who to avoid. He does tell us who not to have company with. He does tell us from such we should withdraw. I mean, there are some teachings in there that would help us. But he does say, "Thou must be brought before Caesar," that's the world, "and lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee." This angel of God tells Paul, listen, these guys that are with you, they're going to be okay. So what else can I say? But listen, folks, if you just stay with the risen Savior, you'll be okay. And we all tend to believe that. We can understand that. But what the real detail is, if you stay with Paul, who will teach us about the risen Savior, you'll be okay. And let's go one step further. You stay with that King James Bible, rightly divided to Paul, to the risen Savior, you'll be okay. So we just have to sail with Paul. King James Bible, rightly divided, risen Savior. Not the Gospels, not Hebrews, James, 1-2 Peter, 1-2 3 John, and Jude. We learn from those things, but we don't follow those things. Now, this is program number 75. Are you getting the drift? Has anybody out there been through the whole program? Have you been through all 75 programs? Have you got anything you want to say? Have you got anything you want to ask? Have you talked to your pastor about these things? You don't want to tell me what he said, because you know, I already know what he said. And that's why I'm not hearing from you. I'll do a program here in a couple days, maybe even the next one. Depends if I get this one done today or not. As I look at the time, the clock here, I might not get done today. I'll tell you why people don't want Paul anymore. Why it's so hard to talk to people about this stuff. Okay, let's get back to the program here. Are you sailing with Paul? Are you sailing with Paulson? I'll help you sail with Paul is what I'll do. "Wherefore, sirs," in verse 25, "be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me." I believe that this Bible says what it says, and I'm so glad I'm learning this thing, because I tell you, folks, this is all I've got. I have had religion. I've been a Baptist. I've been a Lutheran. I've been a Presbyterian, choir director. I needed the job. Ta-da-ta-ta. I mean, I've been there. So, I tell you, if this Bible's wrong, I'm going to stand in front of God at my judgment, you know, as they say at the gates of St. Peter, and I'm just going to have to apologize for believing that what he said was true, that he could preserve his words, and he did through a King James Bible, and rightly dividing was what it was. I guess I'm just going to have to apologize. Sorry, God, I guess I just believed what you said. And he's going to say, "Yeah, I know, I didn't give you the truth down there. I gave you a bunch of different Bibles. I wanted to keep you confused. I wanted you to fall into the hands of the devil because he was sure good for you. That's so baloney. But that's where people are at, you know. Okay, I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. I believe God that this Bible is what it is. It's rightly divided. It tells me to teach to follow Paul, and it tells me how to follow the risen Savior. It teaches me about a manner of life. Slow down. I know. Slow down. Verse 26. Howbeit, we must be cast upon a certain island. Okay, something's going to happen here. But when the 14th night was come, as we were driven up and down in Adria, about midnight the shipmen deemed that they drew near to some country. They started to recognize a situation. Verse 28, and sounded and found it 20 fathoms. They're doing a sound test. Pretty neat that they could do that in those days, right? They didn't have sonar, but they knew what sonar, how it worked. They didn't have fish finders. And sounded and found it 20 fathoms. And when they had gone a little further, they sounded again and found it 15 fathoms. So they recognized the fact that they're getting closer to shore. Okay? So then, fearing lest we should have fallen upon rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. Well, first of all, they're still not paying attention to Paul, because Paul said, listen, folks, we have to get to an island. We're going to get there. And they're still afraid that they're going to hit rocks and all this kind of stuff. And so as the shipmen, verse 30, as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea, under color, which means they're making it look like they're doing something else. I don't suppose the captain would be too thrilled if they saw a mutiny taking place here. They had under color as though they would have cast anchors out of the foreship. But Paul knew what was going on, verse 31. Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except those abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. Okay, I mean, you guys got to stay in the ship. You can't get off the ship. What's that ship? It's the ship of Alexandria. But they got to get, I'll show you, they want that ship of Alexandria. This is where we are. We're in the world that follows the teachings of Alexandria. We're in churches that teach the teachings of Alexandria. I mean, it's there. We're on this thing. So do we need to stay with our modern Bibles? Do we need to stay in those churches? No. That's not what we're talking about. But can you leave this world? No. Can you throw away Paul? Can you throw away your King James Bible? No. Can you throw away the truth? No. We can't do that. That's the ship you're staying on. I hope you understand that. Verse 32. Then the soldiers cut off the ropes of the boat and let her fall off. A boat referred to her again. There goes what they thought was the rescue boat. What have you tried to do to rescue whatever it is, whatever situation you're in? Cut it off, get rid of it, and let's start sailing with Paul. Let's hearken to what Paul says. Paul's talked to the risen Savior face to face a number of times. Here's another place where he did. And while the day was coming on, Paul besought them all to take meat, saying, this day is the 14th day that ye have tarried and continued fasting, having taken nothing. See, now there's a fast that didn't accomplish the thing. Wherefore, I pray you to take some meat. And he didn't give them broccoli and, veggie burgers. To take some meat, for this is for your health. For there shall not an hair fall from the head of any of you. Okay, so they won't lose a hair over this thing. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. Then they were all of good cheer. And they also took some meat. I was going to bunny trail there about what Paul teaches about all this grace that people say before they eat. And we're going to have to do a program about that. We got that just a little tweaked up, but we'll talk about that. He took bread and gave thanks to God in presence of them all. So he did that. And there's no harm in us doing that. But Paul does talk about that a little bit in Timothy. Then they were all of good cheer, and they also took some meat. Can you imagine after 14 days without some meat that they finally enjoy that? I know some of you are going to say, well, meat doesn't have to mean meat. It could mean any kind of food. Well, seems to me so far, this is referring to meat. Take some meat. This is for your health. They're all of good cheer. I can't think of anything else but a good chunk of meat to make people put people in good cheer. And we were in all of the ship, 216 souls, 276 people. Okay, but he's calling them souls. Okay, and when they had eaten enough, they lightened the ship and cast out the wheat into the sea. Really? The wheat? Well, the wheat was what they were carrying. They even got rid of that. See, when you're going to go with Paul, there's some good things you're going to have to throw off the ship. Some of that good stuff is just weighting you down. There's a sermon in that little verse, isn't there? And when it was day, they knew not the land, but they discovered a certain creek with a shore, into the which they were minded, if it were possible, to thrust in the ship. There's a little creek over there with a shoreline. Let's go over there. Let's see if we can get this ship into that area. And when they had taken up the anchors, they committed themselves unto the sea and loosed the rudder bands and hoist up the mainsail to the wind. And they took control, is what they did, and made toward shore. They made the decision to head for where they needed to get to. They committed themselves. Have you made a commitment? Now, commitment is not salvation. And a lot of churches say, well, if you made a commitment to the Lord, no, make a salvation to the Lord. Make a commitment to that King James Bible. Make that commitment to follow Paul. Make that commitment to rightly divide and head for shore. From what I can understand, I don't think that shore is all that far away myself. Anyway, verse 41, and falling into a place where two seas met, they ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. Now, can you picture that? They ran the ship aground, and the forepart stuck fast and remained unmovable, but the hinder part was broken with the violence of the waves. And the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. Well, we certainly couldn't have that, could we? You know, these pastors and these teachers that teach all the Jesus teaching to the Jews, the Jewish gospel, they just can't stand the fact that you're going to escape from that mess and live and get excited about your Bible. Get excited about your music would change. A lot of things would change in your life. They really will. But it won't be because of the severity of God, the fear of God. It'll be because of the goodness of God that you make these changes in your life. And they don't want that to happen. It's envy. You read in your Bible that they killed Jesus, and it says because of envy. They threw Joseph into the hole because of envy. They went after Paul because of envy. That's the word the Bible uses, is envy. So these soldiers, pastors, want to get rid of those prisoners. But the centurion, willing to save Paul, there we go, good guy, kept them from their purpose and commanded that they which could swim should cast themselves first into the sea and get to land. Okay, so now they're off the ship, that ship crashed, and stick with Paul. Can you swim? If you can swim, it's because you understand you have the knowledge of the risen Savior. You can swim. If you understand rightly dividing, you know how to swim. If you understand the teachings of Paul, you know how to swim. If you know how to work on your manner of life, you're learning to swim even better and better and better. Head for that shore. It's reachable. And if you know how to swim, it must be tremendously exciting. And the rest, some on boards, some on broken pieces of the ship, you know, they've got something to hang on to. And so it came to pass that they all escaped safe to land. Now, how many people have turned to Paul, turned to the risen Savior, and did some swimming? Learned to swim. They were learning how to swim. They were getting some places. They were able to go from the shore to the dock. They're able to go another 50 yards. They're learning how to swim. And they just can't make it. So they have to just hang on to something. So they give up, you know, and they just float around. And the rest, some on board and some on broken pieces of the ship. You know, they're just hanging on to what they can. They're not going to try to swim. Maybe they can't swim. They've got a true salvation. They've got the risen Savior, as Paul taught and guides people to. But they just don't want to learn how to swim. They just don't want to get into that King James Bible and learn what it is to be that Christian. That's the walk. And they're just going to float and let the world toss them and turn them around. Let them just go where it goes. And maybe they still can't get out of their religion totally, so they got to go play church. They got to go do their thing. They've got to do this. They've got to do that. And, you know, they're going to make it to the shore, but they're not swimming. They're letting the current, they're letting the sea of the world bounce them around and show them where to go. And they're going to hang on. But it'd just be so much better if you could swim. See, I personally am not a very good swimmer. I could probably get from where the boat was, where I am, back to the boat, maybe. But I probably panic and still drown. Never did learn to swim. Not very good at that sort of a thing. I would much rather be able to swim from point A to point B and enjoy it. You know, a few backstrokes here, a few breaststrokes here, swim like a dolphin for a couple of yards, you know, and just enjoy swimming. That would be so fun. you know you're going to get there, and you can know when to take a breath and all that stuff. You just compare that as compared to floating around on a board. And yeah, you'll get there eventually, but it could be a rough bounce. You know, you could have fish chewing at your feet, sharks nibbling at your toes. You know, all sorts of things can be taking place while you're hanging around on that board. Now, jump in, start swimming, grab that Bible, let's get going, and let's get going together. So there it is. There's chapter 27. Now, go back and read it again, and you'll find something else. For example, you go back where it says there, verse 29, we didn't talk about this, where they wished for the day. See, the night is the dark time. It's the scary time. And the daytime is when things can take place. Things can get going. And then it said, verse 33, and while the day was coming on, Paul told him, let's have a meal here. Let's get some meat. So things started to clear up as the day got better. Same thing with us. The world is compared to night. And being with the Lord, we're children of light. And we should live like it's the day, even though we know that we're still living in the night here, but we are the light in the night. Paul is our light in the night. Jesus Christ is the light. The King James Bible, the light. Psalm 119, verse 130, the entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Thy word, King James Bible, rightly divided. Rightly divide the word of truth, look to Paul, which will take us to the risen Savior. He is the light. That's where it's at. Okay, that's it. We will pick up on something new tomorrow.